This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual this morning in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this
morning?
Good,
Wally. How are you?
I'm pumped, Naz.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've been waiting almost a year for this. It's time.
You had to bring out Rocky, did you?
Well,
you're a bum, Rocky. You're a bum.
Yeah, Adrian. Have a little fun with that. It's been a long year. I remember still having difficulty forgetting how the Leafs exited the playoffs last year. We've got the same opponent this year, the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've got home ice advantage. And Rocky was the ultimate underdog, but interestingly enough, the Leafs are not the underdog in this series. Naz, the odds makers have the Leafs as a very strong favorite against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and overall, according to the odds makers, the Leafs are the number three pick to win the Stanley Cup. Naz,
behind Boston and
Colorado, and tied with Edmonton. So everybody's looking at these Leafs team, and they are certainly, I don't know what the right words are, Naz. I'm guardedly optimistic, I will put it that way.
Could you imagine if they lose again?
Oh, let's, do we really?
Can you imagine
Can we wipe that four-letter word out of our vocabulary?
Still hurts. Every year it hurts.
No, I'm using a three-word vocabulary, W-I-N.
You never came out with the heavy artillery like your hat today.
To our listeners, we're in studio today. If you have any opportunity to, as you know, we broadcast over the air on AM 740, FM 96.1. We're also live video streaming right now on the internet, www.zoomerradio. And I'm not taking anything to chance. I got my signed number 14 jersey on.
I have a jersey, but no name on it.
Toronto Maple Leaf jersey, and I pulled out all the stops this morning. As I got my Punch Him Black fedora on this morning, it's of course from 1967.
You're going to be joining the Leafs on Legends.
I may have to do that. The only thing we're missing is Red Kelly's pyramid power. That's the only thing we're missing this morning. We pulled out all the heavy Leaf artillery out of the closet this morning. So I'm not taking any chances, Naz. And there's another big omen this year that may vault the Leafs to a successful Stanley Cup run. My particular cohort, my generation, all the guys I grew up, I was born in 1956, Naz, and all the guys I grew up with were all mostly born in 1956. We all turned 67 this year.
That's correct, 67.
67. Wouldn't it be fitting that I turned 67, all my buddies turned 67, and the Leafs last won the Stanley Cup in 1967. We got a lot of things going for us this year, Naz. So
yeah,
let's.
We sure do.
We got Lou on the line. Lou Franceschetti, are you there?
I'm here, guys. Good morning.
You're late.
Good morning, Louie.
You're a little bit late this morning, Lou. So we'll get you right in here, Lou. Is this the year? Well, Naz has got his Leafs jersey on this morning. I got my 14 signed jersey. I got my Punch Him Like fedora. I was turning 67 years old this year. All the stars are lining up, Lou. Is this the year?
Well, let's hope so, Wally. I just turned 65. So I did get a chance to watch him in 67. But again, it's really funny because this team right here, there are games that they can say to us that, this is our year. And then you look back and there are games that, things have to change. So let's just hope. They've got the team right now. They've filled the holes. They've got a lot more grit. They've got a lot more big people back on the rear end. I think it's going to come to the guy between the pipes.
Does Matthew Nyes play, Louis?
What's that?
Matthew Nyes, does he play in the first game?
From what I saw in the last couple of games, I think he should be playing. He created a lot of offense. He got in there, got into the dirty areas, and looked like he was going to really help this team out. I can't see anybody more productive than him right now, unless they want to go with loyalty to guys that have been there all year. I would probably put him on that third line with Riley and Kerfoot, and have a solid fourth line with Camp, Austin Reese, and I can't even think of the guy's name on the right side, Akari. So
you're seeing Matthew Nyes is he's we're still debating that. We will certainly find out whether he's going to be in the lineup. Interesting decisions that Sheldon Keefe is going to have to make. Who his sixth defenseman is. I got to presume he's not going to dress seven. Samsonov seems to be the goalie. From what I can tell, Wohl's going to be the backup for now. I don't know the health status of Matt Murray. And then there's some decisions up front. But the Leafs look pretty solid going into the playoffs this year. They had an incredible week this week. I know there really wasn't much on the line, but for some of the teams they were playing, there was. But they got three pretty good results playing tough games against Florida, Tampa, and the Rangers in the other team's barn, and they played playoff hockey. They were, they tightened it up. Some good goaltending. Certainly, that seemed to be a harbinger. This week seemed to be a harbinger of how the Leafs have to play in the playoffs. First, Naz, your reaction to the performance by the Leafs this week, and then I'll turn it over to you, Lou.
The biggest key was Luke Shen fighting Maroon and knocking him out during that fight. And I think it's going to be big that the Leafs play that style of hockey, for sure. Not to back down, and they're not going to back down with this team.
Lou, I thought some of the Tampa guys, I don't know if, John Cooper's a pretty wily coach. The game meant nothing to Tampa in essentially every respect. To the extent they may have been playing possum, who knows? John Cooper's capable of, playing psychological games. He's the ultimate coach. He's won a couple of Stanley Cups, the finals. Those aren't accidents. Like when you win a couple of Stanley Cups and you go to the finals, it tells you something about the program that you've created. I agree with Naz. When Pat Maroon started to get feisty, some of the Tampa guys were starting to get feisty, probably trying to shake the Leafs up a little bit before the playoffs. Luke Shen certainly sent a message to Pat Maroon, and probably sent a message to the rest of the Tampa team. This ain't the same, There's a new sheriff in town here. This ain't the same Toronto Maple Leaf team at the back end. And you want to fool around with my guys? I'm here. Is that the message you got, Lou?
Well, there's no better guy than Luke Shen, because he played for them for the last couple of years. So he's actually won two Stanley Cups with the roster that they've had. I know they lost some key ingredients to free agency, the more or less the rat line that they had. So he knows exactly what pushes their buttons, and he knows exactly which guy's tough, and he knows exactly what Pat Maroon's all about. So what he did was he stepped in, sent Pat a message. You sent the Tampa Bay Lightning a message. Guys, I've played this with you for 2 years. I know what you guys were all about. You're not going to come in here and, into our house and do the kind of stuff that you did to win two Stanley Cups. And you look at the record that Tampa has had on the flip side here in the last five records. They had the best record in hockey 1 year. They got knocked off by Columbus 3 games in a row, or I think four in a row. So they went out and made some changes. They got some grit. And they've gone to the Stanley Cup final the last 3 years and winning two of them. So they know what it takes to get there. And what do we all say, Wally? You, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And it's better to meet them in the first round than it is later to give them a lot more momentum. Now, it's all the how far they go is going to depend on how fast they can get rid of them. So this way they can get some time to rest. Some of the bodies.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about how fast we can get rid of them. I'll just take a series victory. It could be 12 games as far as I care at this point. Let's just figure out a way to get to the second round. Anyways, on that note, we're going to go to break. We're going to run with the NHL playoffs this Sunday. We've got Michael Tracos, acclaimed hockey writer, host of the Hockeyverse with Johnny Legend. We're going to have him on right after the break, and later on in the hour, NHL's from NHL.com and from ESPN, Barry Melrose. We'll be right back.
No hard crosses. No.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With a large pickup special, get a large one-topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
Long live Pizzaville!
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayo's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming on the internet at www.zoomerradio.ca. If you actually want to tune in on the internet this morning on the live video streaming, Naz and I are decked out in our full Leafs regalia, my signed number 14 jersey, and my Punch Imlac fedora. We're ready for the playoffs, and talking about ready for the playoffs, we're pleased to welcome my acclaimed hockey writer, the host of the podcast The Hockeyverse with Johnny Legend, Michael Tracos. Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning?
Hey, pretty good. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Been listening to some of your stuff on the Hockeyverse. Keep it up. It's some great stuff. You're one of the great hockey writers and great commentators in Canada when it comes to all things hockey. Keep it up, Michael. And we're thrilled about the playoffs. We're ready. We had sworn off the Leafs last May, but we've drunk the Kool-Aid again, Michael. We're all in. Where are the upsets going to happen?
Right?
What's that?
But eventually, it's got to happen, right?
You think so?
Then we got to ask you, Michael. Yeah. Line up the Tampa-Toronto series. How is this series going to develop?
Oh, I think it's going to be another great one. It's going to come down to the same things it always comes down to. Can the core four, which is stretching out now, whether or not you want to include Ryan O'Reilly in that mix now or Morgan Riley, but can the big dogs perform better than Tampa's? Is the goaltending hold up? And for me, it's can Sheldon Keefe keep up with John Cooper? And when I look at goaltending, when I look at forwards, when I look at D, when I look at the intangibles and the X factors, I'm still giving Toronto the slight edge. I know Tampa's been in the final the last 3 years, but for me, this is as strong a Leaf team as we've seen. I think they have so much to prove. They finally have that sort of maturity, and they've got all the pieces. You look at the trade deadline and what Kyle Dubas was able to bring to this group, and there's no excuses anymore. I think I've called it Leafs in six. I think if the Leafs have a chance to put Tampa Bay out, you hope that they can learn from previous last lessons. And yeah, I'm calling Leafs in six.
How much will Ryan McDonagh be missed by Tampa Bay, Michael?
Yeah, that's the thing. When I look at Tampa's defense, it's not as strong as it was in years past. You still have Hedman there, and that's obviously a huge, huge piece. But, yeah, McDonagh's absence is huge. I love Sergachev's physicality, and I think he's a little better than we've probably seen in past years. But, even in last year's playoffs, I thought Tampa's defense was very susceptible. And, when I look at Toronto's offense, that's the difference. It's not just that Tampa's defense is maybe not as good or how good is Tampa's defense. It's that Toronto's offense is just so, so deadly. And when things are clicking and when you've got the top two lines going, and now that you've got a third line now with O'Reilly and however Keith is going to match him up, whether he's got Nat Nyes up there in the third line or the fourth line or if he's in the lineup or not. There's just so many pieces there, and I think Toronto can hurt you in multiple ways, whereas Tampa, they still have their guys like Kucherov and Stamkos and Point and so many other pieces. But, man for man, I'll take Toronto any day of the week. And, yeah, I think this is Toronto's time.
I'm feeling slightly better, Michael.
I know, I'm usually the guy who's like, no, it's not going to happen this year. I don't know.
I'm feeling slightly better. Anyways, I'll turn it over to Lou. Lou, you want to join in?
Mike, I know how close the teams are this year, and obviously with getting O'Reilly, getting Akari, moving Matthew Nyes in there, getting McCabe and Shen on the back end. Are the referees going to tighten up? Are they going to let the shenanigans go that happened in Tampa this past week? How are they going to ref this series, knowing that there could be a little bit of bad blood between both teams?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Lou. I think game one is always the tone setter, and we'll see what comes out of it. We'll see how Keith dresses the lineup. I was saying on our podcast last week that I could really see a scenario where Wayne Simmonds gets in for game one.
Oh, don't just say
because,
that.
Yeah. Well, I just think with Maroon and Perry and all like what you mentioned with shenanigans, I think it might be useful to have a guy like the Wayne train in there for game one just to kind of keep the peace and provide a little pushback. And then we'll see how Nyes slips in there and whether it's a game two or game three scenario. But I'm expecting fireworks from a physicality standpoint.
I'm gonna have to step in here because I can't turn this back to Lou because Lou's got some pretty strong thoughts about putting Wayne Simmonds in the lineup. So yeah. let's not get into that debate, Lou. I'm gonna calm you down a little bit, but I don't necessarily disagree with you, Michael.
I understand where Mike's coming from. I just think that they have addressed it with Luke Shen and McCabe. Again, it's nothing against Wayne Simmons. It's just more or less it's what Tampa is going to be able to get away with, and how much Wayne Simmons can more or less invoke his presence on the ice.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with the assessment. I'm not so sure we're going to see Simmons in Game 1, maybe Game 2, depending on what happens in Game 1. Michael, the one thing we know about the NHL playoffs is nothing ever goes according to plan around the league. And, you know, they talk about the three certainties in life, and one of the certainties is there's going to be upsets. There always is. If you were to look around the league... some of the top teams in the playoffs, mind you, it's incredibly well balanced because all the teams that are in the playoffs, the vast majority of them could cause some damage. But if you see upsets coming, where you see them coming from?
Yeah, you're right. In the NHL is it almost like you almost throw out the whole favorite underdog classification. But yeah, if I'm going to see some upsets, I like the Islanders over Carolina. I think with Carolina losing Svechnikov, and I always think that the Islanders are such a tough out because of the style they play and because their goaltending is so difficult, especially at this time of year. The other team that I'm kind of really eyeing is Winnipeg. You guys know what that barn looks like at playoff time, and it's a small rink, but it's loud, and you got the whiteout, and when you got Connor Hellebuck, he's such an X factor. I see those two teams as potential upsets: as Winnipeg over, I guess it's Vegas, and Islanders over Carolina. Those are the only ones. I was debating between the Devils and the Rangers, but more and more I can see the Rangers going to the conference final. That's my pick right now. I actually had them going all the way to the Cup final. Taking out Toronto in the conference final and facing Edmonton as it would be, it's tough to say upset or whatever favorite. Like Boston, they're not going to go out in the first round. There's no way that's happening. And I think Edmonton's got no problems going all the way to the Cup final as well. So I'm sticking to I guess those wild card upsets there.
Yes.
No Ovechkin, no Crosby this playoffs.
Isn't that weird?
Your thoughts? Really weird.
My thoughts on that is it's an end of an era, guys. It's an end of an era. And I don't know, when you look at those teams and now Pittsburgh getting rid of Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, they're locked in with their core three guys and Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. And here's the thing that really stands out this year is Crosby and Malkin were healthy, and not only were they healthy, but they were putting up some good numbers. Like, what did Crosby end up with? Was he 96 or 92 points this year? That's a really good year. I don't care how old you are. Same thing with Ovechkin. What do you have? Like, he had over 40 goals. Did he have as many as Austin this year? Like, again, like, both guys are producing, and you can't get in. What does that tell me? Well, year after year, how many picks does Pittsburgh end up trading at this time or at the trade deadline? And, you know, they're kind of paying for those years of not building and not adding to the the roster there. So it's difficult. When I think about, like, great playoffs, those Penguins Capital series, that one series where Ovechkin and Crosby were going back and forth, and what do they both have, a hat trick that one game? Just tremendous ambassadors of the game. And, you know, this is an opportunity. When you don't have Ovechkin, you don't have Crosby, you know, it's a chance for a guy like Matthews and a guy like McDavid to kind of really take up that torch and to just say, okay, well, we are the new face of the league. And if you're going to be a face of the NHL, well, this is the time where you've got to, you know, be in the spotlight and, you know, get the job done. So maybe this is a great opportunity. No Ovechkin, no Crosby. Okay, let's see what you got, Matthews. Let's see what you got, McDavid. And let's take over the league, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs as well.
There was a rumor that Dubas was mentioned and going to Pittsburgh. Have you heard that rumor too?
Here's the thing, guys. Whether it's Pittsburgh, whether it's another team, if the Leafs ever do move on from Kyle Dubas, he'll be out of work for maybe a day, maybe 2 days. This guy's going to be high in demand, and I think that's the one thing that Toronto fans have to kind of make peace with is that they can get rid of a Kyle Dubas, but there's a lot of teams that would love to have him. And on the flip side to that is, if you get rid of a Kyle Dubas, who the heck do you bring in? Do you want to get Ron Hextall in here now? That's what I wrote a week ago, and I had it on my podcast, that I'm really struggling to find a scenario where Kyle Dubas isn't back as the GM next year. Leafs can go in the first round, they can go in the second round or what have you, but after what Dubas did at the deadline, after where this team finished in the regular season, the pressure's off in my mind. Right now, it's up to the players just to get the job done. I really do believe that Kyle Dubas has provided Toronto Maple Leafs with all the tools and more to win a Stanley Cup. And you can look up and down the roster and you can say, okay, well, the goaltending isn't as strong as Tampa's, or, the defense isn't as good as some other teams. But he addressed everything. Last summer, to get Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov, I know there were a lot of question marks. You look at Toronto's goaltending right now, how it stacks up on a league-wide basis, and the numbers are good. He got the job done in terms of addressing, like I said, every little hole, bringing in Ryan O'Reilly, bringing in Luke Shen, McCabe, Achari. Those are pieces that are typical non-Dubas players. Those are guys that fans wanted. They wanted grit. They wanted more physicality. They wanted more depth up front. He did all that, so... if the Leafs are smart, they'd already have a contract waiting for Dubas' signature and just waiting for his signature for him to sign it. And after that's done, then they'd get right to re-signing Austin Matthews to a long-term extension, because those are priority one and priority two in my mind.
Lou?
I think I'm going to be pissing off Lou here with all my comments today.
That's okay. We got to wake him up. No problem.
No. Listen,
go ahead, Lou.
You've done a great job with the Pittsburgh situation there. It's just that as much as Pittsburgh and Washington are making the playoffs, I'm thinking that the other teams have actually caught up to them. So with the seasons that Malkin and Crosby's actually have, they're playing up to their standards. It's just that other teams are getting better now, and other teams are drafting better. And it just goes to show you that Kyle Dubas this year emptied the cupboards. He went at it with one idea, and that is to win the Stanley Cup this year. And now, if there's going to be a contract waiting for me at the end of the year, I don't know. But I think they've got to bring him back. The decision they have to make, if I know I'm going pessimistic here or optimistic, I'm not sure exactly which. If they don't get out of the first round, what do they do with Sheldon Keefe? Because he's also at the end of his contract, too.
Yeah, that's the one guy that I think has got the most pressure right now. And it's strange when you tell people that, Kyle Dubas could very well end up firing two head coaches in his tenure, because you got to remember he also took out Mike Babcock. And generally they say a GM has one bullet in his chamber and he's allowed to use it and fire a coach and bring in a new guy, but that's about it. I think Keith's got the pressure, and he's got the pressure going into the series. Let's face it, last year against Tampa, I think you could make the argument for every game that Cooper really did a masterful job of just really showing why he's such a good coach, whether it was the lineups, whether it was the head games. I thought he did a better job than Keith did at really kind of working that series to his favor. You look at the job that Cirelli was able to do against the Toronto's big dogs, and Keith wasn't willing to kind of move that matchup away or get it into his favor. So I'm really curious to see what Sheldon Keefe has learned. We saw it down the stretch right now. Those lines were in a blender basically from maybe January 1. I never knew what the lines were going to look like on a nightly basis. And you could quibble all you want. You could say that it caused them some chemistry issues, but now you're looking at Toronto's lineup and you're going, hey, everyone can play with everyone here. And that's a good thing because, you know, if game one, things aren't going well, you don't like the matchups, well, you might see Marner with Tavares and Nylander. You might see O'Reilly with the top guys, or you might just see three balance lines where Marner's playing with O'Reilly or someone like that. So I think that's a great thing. I think the Leafs have a lot of options, and I don't think Sheldon is afraid to kind of, you know, like I said, put his lines in the blender again and really mix things up and give Cooper a lineup that he's never seen.
And we're talking to Michael Tracos. Michael, just keep you just a little bit longer.
Hey, I'm enjoying myself, as long as you guys don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, so then let's keep it going for a bit. Michael, Leafs got, for the first time in a long time, probably more bodies, depth, than they've had going into a playoff series in a long, long time. And talking about Sheldon Keefe, he's got some interesting decisions he has to make to fill out his lineup. Certainly, it's going to be interesting to see the lineup sheet for Tuesday night. And he's got a few defensemen. He's got a surplus. So who are the locks to play on Tuesday night, and where are the decisions, which defenseman might possibly be watching the game from the proverbial press box?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I was afraid you guys were going to ask me this. I have names jotted down on the paper in front of me, and I'm like crossing out names as you're speaking. Okay, so the locks, obviously, we're going to go Riley, Brody, Geo, and, you know, Shen is a lock now for me, and McCabe is a lock. So really it comes down to how much do you like or dislike Justin Hall. I think Timothy Liljegren has played his way out of the roster, out of the playoff lineup right now, which is something I didn't think I was going to say earlier in the year, because I thought Liljegren was, you know, one of their bigger surprising surprises. I really liked how he was developing. So really it comes down to what a guy like Gustafson and a guy like Hall. I don't think Connor Timmins is getting in there. For whatever reason, Keith loves Justin Hall. He loves the element that he brings. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I'd love to hear your kind of opinion on this, because I go back and forth on my show as well as in my own head as to what the lineup should look like, but for what I know right now, Luke Shen is probably their most important defenseman going into the series. I think, like, we could argue about Wayne Simmonds and physicality that we're blue in the face, but I think we're both going to agree here, or all four of us are going to agree, that Luke Shen against the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's going to be a huge piece when we're talking about this series, because if there are kind of any shenanigans or if you need any pushback, I think Shen is the guy that you'd never hesitate to have him on the ice.
I think Hole and Liljegren are the bubble guys.
I don't think anybody's touching Hole. Sheldon Keith loves Justin Hole. He'd be in the line.
So he's your number six guy, Ness?
Yeah, absolutely, because he kills penalties too.
Well, you got to have Riley, you got to have Brody, you got to have McCabe. You got to have Giordano, and you got to have Shen. So if I see it, there's one spot left. Am I, Lou, are you seeing it the same way? We've got one spot left.
I'm seeing it the same way, but the Leafs right now have the third worst scoring defense in all of hockey. If they're going to need a little bit of offense from that D, I could only see them putting Liljegren in if they need a little bit more offense and pretty much go down with a five defensemen, not dressed, but just playing five, and then putting Liljegren in there for offensive situations. Other than that, I think Hole right now is a lockdown for number six, only because of his size. Again, if he uses it to his standard, he's got to be physical with the forwards that Tampa have. That's the way I look at it. And down the middle, you got to remember, guys, that the Tampa Bay Lightning do have Stamkos, they do have Sorella, and they do have Nick Paul, who was the ace of the hole last year down the middle.
Thanks for reminding me, Lou. I appreciate
Paul.
That.
Who's he? Yeah.
Well, that's why I played the game. I look at
you got to throw that at me every now and then. You haven't used that line on me in a long time.
I'm not throwing it at you. I'm just throwing it at the Leafs had a chance to get Nick Paul last year. and he went elsewhere.
Yeah.
But now this year, I think maybe Dubas has learned his lesson and gone out and filled that third hole. But I'm just saying, we all know that strength down the middle is going to be a big factor here. And those big three centermen with Tampa can more or less go up head-to-head against any one of the three against Toronto.
Ness.
John Tavares is getting banged around, Michael, more than usual. What is going on? Because he gets hit in open ice a lot lately.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's not like a Marner who can kind of like slip under those hits. He's getting tagged, and that one that he got tagged on against Tampa on Thursday was concerning, especially in the game where, you know, Keith wasn't dressing his top lineup. So those kind of things you're kind of hoping that he can kind of avoid, because the guy's already slowing down, as it were. But what can you do? At least he's going into those areas. At least he's going to places where you do get hit. I don't see him shying away from, you know, the so-called danger area in front of the net. Not that that's where he got hit the other night, but you know, he's a gamer. If you don't like John Tavares's game, I don't know what to tell you at this point of the situation. Like, the guy, he's beloved in the room. He is their leader. He's their captain. I think a guy like O'Reilly is going to help take some of that pressure off in these playoffs. And, you know, if Tavares, that's the thing. Like, we were talking about it the other day, is which player on this Leaf team can you not afford to lose right now? And you can make the argument that, you know, with O'Reilly, you could afford to lose a Tavares. You can maybe even afford to lose a Matthews because of how much depth they have down the middle. The one guy that we kept saying that you can't afford to lose is Marner, because they just don't have anyone like him. But I keep going back to it. Kyle Dubas did such a great job in terms of, you know, playoffs are a war of attrition. And whether it's a Tavares that goes down like he did against the Montreal series in game one, or it's like a Muzzin-type loss on the back end, they have so many reinforcements that we're arguing who should be in their top six for defense. We're wondering what the lines are going to look like. These are good problems to have, especially at the beginning of the playoffs, where, like I said, you know, in a couple weeks from now, there's going to be guys with ice packs on every joint of their body, and there's going to be a couple other guys who just can't play, and the Leafs have the numbers to really get them through four rounds. So, it is concerning that Tavares gets hurt, or gets hit and gets tagged. But, you know, if something were to happen to him, well, you got a guy in Ryan O'Reilly who was a captain of a Stanley Cup team, was a Conn Smythe winner, and can get the job done for the Leafs as well.
Michael, we're going to let you go. We're going to thank you so much for this morning. You're an acclaimed national hockey writer, and you're now hosting the Hockeyverse with Johnny Legend. So I highly encourage our listeners to tune in. It's a great podcast, the Hockeyverse. I've been tuning in the last few shows. Keep up the great work, Michael, and we hope we can join us. You can keep joining us for this Toronto Maple Leafs playoff ride. Thanks so much for joining us.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate it.
Michael?
Yeah, it should be a great series.
Should be.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael. Joining us on the line, ESPN and the NHL's commentator, Barry Melrose. Barry, how are you this morning?
Doing great this morning, guys. Hopefully you're doing the same. Playoffs are just around the corner. Everybody's fired up and talking about which group of guys is going to win. So it's a great time of year, no doubt about it.
It certainly is. Barry, we'll get right into it. Obviously, we're on a Toronto radio station, although we do our signals powerful enough to get into New York and Michigan and Pennsylvania and different areas. But we make no bones about it here on this show, Barry. We're Toronto Maple Leafs fans. We're decked out in my number 14 Keon sweater this morning. Barry, can you size up the Toronto Maple Leafs? Are Toronto Maple Leafs fans going to be happy in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that this team has got some character now. I love the O'Reilly pickup. They've got some, you know, Marner's been awesome. You know, they've got the talent level. You know, we've seen that before, though, so I'm not letting them off the hook. But this is a good Toronto team, and it's got a lot of things that other ones haven't had. And they look like they're pretty solid. And you know, I think they're going to get the job done. I think they're fired up. The rest of the team is fired up. And I just don't think with the type of team they have that they're just going to fall flat in their face and get beat in the first round.
Naz?
Barry, your assessment of the Edmonton Oilers and how good they are.
That would have to be like a Star Trek episode, how good they are. They are great. But what can you say? You look at that lineup, and they get unbelievable players. And this team should be winners. And who's going to be the guy that, you know, takes them to the promised land? That's what I'm going to see. But this team should win, should win. You know, pretty not easy, because nothing's easy in the NHL. But this team should win. This is a excellent hockey club.
Lou,
Barry, you've been there before. How much pressure is on Sheldon Keefe this year? Because Dubas has more or less emptied the cupboards and getting them all the pieces that well, he needs. And there are no excuses for Sheldon Keefe this year with depth or anything.
No, there isn't. And that's not saying anything bad about Sheldon. He's done a good job. He's coached in a high-profile city, maybe the highest. And his team has played hard every night. You know, now look at that, though. You know, they gotta win. It's time in Toronto to put up or shut up. And, you know, being average is not going to get the job done, because Toronto gets everything they want. They get the best of everything. And they want this guy, they get this guy. They want this guy, they get this guy. And, you know, I played in Toronto. I coached games in Toronto, successful games in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I know both sides, how you feel. And it's emotional. It is very emotional, especially when you're a Canadian kid. Anyways, I grew up in Saskatchewan, a Maple Leaf fan, and it was hard for me to see them get beat. But they didn't get the job done. So it's going to be a tremendous emotional time in Toronto, because those people want to win and they need to win. And we're going to see if their mental makeup has changed over the last number of years.
We're talking to Barry Melrose. Barry, Boston Bruins had a phenomenal season, set the record for most points, comparisons to some of the great teams in history, including the 76-77 Montreal Canadiens. Without getting into that debate, which we don't have to, the Bruins are the prohibitive favorites to be Stanley Cup champions. Are you completely sold on the Boston Bruins, or are they potentially the victim of an upset somewhere along the way?
I'm not the type of person that just sells out. And Boston should win. Boston's a great team. Oilers should win. You look at what the Oilers got. Toronto should win. But we do know that we've got teams out there that have proven they've won before. And you know, Boston's got a couple of guys on that team that has won the Stanley Cup. And you can't just step out on the ice and become a winner. These guys lost a few games in order to win, and now they're to the point. There'll be great leadership in that dressing room, and they know what it takes to win. Now we'll see if that was just a fluke on the ice, and the upset is on, and Boston gets beat, or Boston continues to play looking like the team that we've seen all year long, which is phenomenal, which is great, which is hungry. So, you know, you talk about Edmonton should win. Toronto should win. Well, Boston should win, and there's going to be a couple of teams that are going to be called, you know what. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be great. There's going to be so much emotion, and teams that are supposed to win that don't win, and a team out of nowhere. Maybe a team like Dallas, a bunch of young guys that don't know about anything, and no one's counting them on to win, and maybe. Maybe Dallas is a team that sneaks in there and surprises everybody.
Now that the Penguins are out of the playoffs, will Sidney Crosby accept the rebuild in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. I think that he has got the right, after many years of playing hard, to go wherever he wants. We'll see if that happens. But I also like to see guys stay with the same team. I know people leave because of money or whatever, but I, Sydney has won a lot of championships for Canada, Worlds and Olympics, and it was always fun to watch him play and how good he was and how talented he was. So he wants to win. He wants to win again. All these guys want to, Patrick Kane, the same thing. So I would say no. I would say that the time for Pittsburgh is over, and they're going to disperse and take another shot with a different group of older players, maybe with a little more skill, and maybe they can figure out a way to win another cup.
Barry, we won't keep you much longer. We appreciate the time you've taken for us. I'll turn it over to Lou for one last, and then I'll wrap it up with you. Lou?
Barry, who's coming out of the West?
Colorado.
Interesting.
I like that team. I know they got a couple injuries, but they've got some. Other guys too that are coming into the lineup. They've got some depth there, and I love the way that they play and how hard they play, and how tough they are to play against. We saw that last year, so that's sort of the way I'd be leaning.
Barry, you coached in the NHL a few years and some pretty important playoff games. How is playoff hockey different? Obviously, from a spectator's point of view, it's obviously at an incredibly more intense level. It doesn't seem to be as much space on the ice, but do you coach differently in the playoffs? Do coaches coach differently in the playoffs? What's the difference?
You got no time to fix problems. If you got a problem and it gets away from you or goes someplace where it's not expected to go, that can cost you a lot of problems. When you're playing in the playoffs, that's what you have, one chance for one mistake. So you got to be ready to play. All your staff has to be ready. Your doctors have to be ready. Your trainers have to be ready. When the whistle goes, it's showtime. We've got a lot of good teams out there. We've been rattling them off, and they are a lot of skilled guys. But you also have to pay a price. You have to block shots. You look at teams that have went anywhere in the playoffs. They're blocking shots and using their hands, using their face. They're just cut above the eye, below the eye. Ears are cut. They just play. You got to be willing to do that as a team. There's got to be no boundaries. No excuses, as I mentioned earlier, and no boundaries. If that puck comes out around the wall, you get it out. You don't go to your bench and say, "Geez, I almost got that out." It's not almost got that out. You get it out, or you got out, and that's what's so tough to play in the playoffs. There's just no room for mistake.
We've been talking to Barry Melrose. Barry, we won't take advantage of your generous time. Thank you. I know time's at a premium for you today. I just want to say sincerely, thank you so much for taking the time for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and good luck in this long playoff battle.
Certainly, we appreciate the kind thoughts. Barry Melrose, thank you. Lou, I just want to follow up on something Barry just said right at the end, playoff hockey. And he said, this is the time of year when the camera's focused in on the benches, you look at a bunch of players that look, once they get into the third and fourth rounds, they look haggard, they look bruised, they've got cuts all over their faces, they're black and blue, they're missing teeth. Yeah, playoff hockey's a grind, isn't it, Lou?
It really is, and I think Wayne Gretzky couldn't have put it better. I think one of the first year that they lost in the finals to the Islanders. He got the message when he walked by the Islander dressing room after they had won the Stanley Cup, and he saw everybody all banged up with ice packs all over them. He got the message right there and then that it's what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. And really, you've got to keep the misuse to a minimal. You've got to keep everything as simple as possible. You've got to make game adjustments, game time adjustments in between first and second period. You can't let the other team dictate of what they want to do. And Scotty Bowman always said that there's so many pieces on the ice that are so important. It's 5 feet inside the blue line, 5 feet outside each blue line, is very, very important, because turnovers in that area, the way the game is going nowadays, can turn up to game-winning goals, especially late ones.
Boys, we've got about 2-3 minutes left. We are going to pop our second commercial break on at the end of the show. We had to accommodate Barry Melrose's schedule, so we're going to end the show a little bit earlier today, a couple of minutes early, so we can take that commercial break. So Naz, I'm going to go around. We've got.
I have a question for Lou.
Go ahead.
How much weight did you lose in a game? How much weight would you lose in a game?
Probably about 5 pounds, depending on how long the game went.
the overtime against the Islanders, you go to six overtimes,
you know, maybe you lose a little bit more weight.
You know what, you really can't lose that much weight, because you're going to dehydrate yourself. So I would say probably the max amount of weight you're going to lose anywhere is 5 pounds.
And it's all water and salt.
It's all water, that's right. And then... it depends also how much you play and just all the little things that go on. But I can't see anybody losing more than 5 to 10 pounds max.
Yeah, and then none of the trainers have to, you know, make sure that these players are properly hydrated, and the science of it is so much more advanced than when you play.
Nowadays is a lot different than
it was way more advanced
30, 40 years ago.
Anyways, we got a minute and a half left. I want to go around the table, because it's prediction time.
Oh boy!
And Naz is always the best when it comes to prediction. So Naz, I'm going to put you on the spot. Toronto Maple Leafs, first series against Tampa. And then, depending on that, the second series, if they get past Boston, and then ultimately who we're going to see in the Stanley
Cup
final.
You're going to hate this. Toronto in seven games.
Against Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay. And how's Toronto going to do the rest of the playoffs?
I don't see the – I see them beating Boston also. I think Boston's going to advance, and I think the Leafs are going to advance too. I think they're going to go to the finals.
Against?
Edmonton or...
I'm not going to ask you who's going to win that series yet. We'll deal with that one next Sunday. Lou, give me your thoughts. Leafs first round and Leafs throughout the playoffs and Stanley Cup finals. Go ahead.
I see them getting by the Tampa Bay in seven. I don't see them getting past Boston. And I see probably Boston or the Rangers going to the Stanley Cup final against Edmonton or Colorado.
Toronto in five against Tampa. Toronto will beat Boston. Toronto will go to the Stanley Cup final. They will play Edmonton in the Stanley Cup final. I'm not issuing that prediction just yet. I'm feeling good about this one, Naz. It's 67 for all of us, and it's 1967. I'm feeling good chemistry about this.
You have to see this hat Wally's wearing, Lou. Unbelievable.
I'm sleeping with my Keon jersey from now till we win the Stanley Cup final, and the fedora's popping in here every Sunday while the Leafs are still in the playoffs. On that note, Naz, we're going to wrap up the show. I always give you the last word.
Well, everybody look forward to the playoffs this coming week, and it's going to be great hockey in the first round for sure.
Yeah, we'll be in here next Sunday morning after Game 3. Lou, thank you so much for joining us. I'll just finish this show very, very simply. Go Leafs, go. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.